All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can actually find your place in two different spots. We will go to Psalm chapter number one. Psalm chapter number one. And then James chapter number one. Psalm chapter number one. And then James chapter one. And we'll be there momentarily for both. But I want you to imagine, as we get started this morning, someone who maybe they like to go fishing, maybe they like to be out in nature, and they're sitting beside a fresh stream. They're there, they're drinking freely. They find themselves being refreshed and nourished every single day that they're out there fishing, that they're out there by that stream, and they're every day refreshed. But then I want you to imagine that that same person, after they look in a mirror, they see the dirt on their face, and they walk away, and they do nothing about that dirt on their face. Well, when it comes to reading our Bibles, and when it comes to scripture reading, that's unfortunately what many Christians do with their Bibles. They sip the sweet water of God's Word, but they never let it wash them clean. And in this morning's lesson, we're going to learn that a blessed and fruitful Christian, we don't just love the Word, we just don't love the Bible, but we live the Bible. We live the Scriptures. We live God's Word. And God calls us not only to delight in His Word, but also to respond with obedience, allowing His Word to transform us from the inside and out. Because if God makes a difference on the inside, that change on the inside is going to be made manifest on the outside. And so there's several things we want to see this morning. The first being this: the delight in the Word. The delight in the Word. You're there, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter number 1. And who would like to read there verses 1 through 3? Miss Martha, go ahead. Thank you there, Ms. Martha. And so we see here in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we see the need for loving God's voice. The need for loving God's voice, that when God speaks to us, we love to hear it. Not only do we love to hear it, but we also pay attention to that which God is saying to us. And so we see several things here in Psalm chapter 1. We see that the blessed man is marked not only by what he avoids in verse number 1, the counsel of the ungodly, the way of the sinners, the seed of the scornful, but by also what he delights in. And we see that the man who is blessed by God is someone who loves the Bible. He's someone who loves the Word of God. He meditates on it. Verse number 2 tells us he meditates on it day and night. And then as he meditates on the Scriptures, as he's reading the Bible, as he's ingrained in the Scripture and in the Word of God, verse number 3, the Bible tells us he becomes like a tree that is planted by rivers of water. He's nourished, he's stable, he's fruitful. And the things of this world, the storms of this world, will not be able to blow against him, and he'll be able to stand, and he'll be able to stand and stand firmly. Turn over, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And notice there, if you would, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And so again, we see here that the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who trusts in God's word, is like a tree. But not just any tree, a tree that is planted by waters. They're not anxious in drought. They're not anxious in times of storm. And that's why we need to delight ourselves in the scriptures. That's why we need to delight ourselves in the word of God. And we have to realize that the Bible, it's not just an instruction manual. It's not just an instruction book. It is inspiration. It is nourishment. It is God's voice written for your growth and for my growth. You know, I want you to picture a tree. And this tree is in the desert. And even though it's in the desert, it remains lush. It remains green. Because hidden beneath the surface, its root taps in to a flowing underground river. And no matter how dry it gets in that desert, no matter how hot it gets in that desert, it's always lush. It's always green. It's always nourished. It's always alive. And it's always fruitful. Well, that's the Christian. That's the believer who finds themselves grounded in the Word of God, who finds themselves grounded in the Scriptures, even in dry spiritual seasons. Because, you know, somewhere along the line, we have been fed the lie that, well, once we get saved and once we become a Christian, we shouldn't have any problems. We shouldn't have any issues. We shouldn't have any trials or tribulations or heartaches or sorrows. But that's just not true. That's just not the case. We will always have dry spiritual seasons. We'll be in the valley sometimes. We won't always be up on the mountains. And so we need to make sure that we are grounded in the Bible. We need to make sure that we are grounded in the Word of God and that we love the Bible, that we love the Scriptures, that we love God's Word. And so we see the delight in the Word. But then secondly, we see the doing of the Word. We see the doing of the Word. Look, if you would, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we'll begin reading there at verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 down through verse 25. The Bible there says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so we see that as we read the Bible, as we read the Scripture, as we read the Word of God, and as we let it indwell us, eventually what God will do and what God's voice will do is it will transform us. It will change us. And all of a sudden, we won't be the same person we were when we first got saved, or when we first started attending church, or when we first got involved with the things of God. Because as we read the Bible, as we ground our lives by the principles found in God's Word, we find ourselves growing and going and being that which God would have us to be. And we see here in James, James tells us that, you know, a lot of Christians, they come to church, and that's great. That's wonderful. We need to come to church. We need to hear the Bible preached. We need to hear the Bible taught. We need to hear sermons and Bible studies and all the rest. But hearing the Word is only part of the Christian walk. You know, my pastor, he always used to say that, you know, he would be in the back shaking hands, and people would leave and they would say, you know, great sermon, pastor, today. And he would always use the illustration, well, it's only as good as the one who puts it into application in their life. And so, you know, if you learn something from it, if you get something from it, if you're encouraged by it, if you're challenged by it, then that sermon accomplished its goal. But if all you do is come and you hear and you listen, but then you don't leave and there's no change, well, then it wasn't really a very good sermon now, was it? It really wasn't a very good Bible study. It wasn't very effective in doing what it's supposed to do. And so hearing the Word is only part of the Christian's walk. If we only hear and never obey, the Bible says there in verse number 22 that we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And we see in verse number 23, James says that the Word of God, the Bible, is like a mirror. When we read the Bible, and when we come and we hear preaching, and we hear Bible studies, and we're in church, the Bible is like a mirror. The Bible shows us those things that need to be changed in our life, the things that need to be worked on in our life. And the blessing comes to the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not forgetting it, but doing it, as verse number 25 says. You notice it says there that the Bible, that it is the perfect law of liberty. There is perfection found in the Scriptures. There is perfection found in the Bible. There is perfection found in the Word of God. And there is true freedom. There is true liberty found in the pages of God's Word. So many people today are held captive. So many people today are in bondage to sin, or to addictions, or to vices, or to whatever the case may be. And they're looking for freedom. They're looking to be set free. And they're looking in all the wrong places. But true freedom comes from the Bible. True freedom comes from the Scriptures. Look, if you would, John chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. And notice there, if you would, verse number 17. The Bible says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You see, reading the Bible should lead to real change in a person's life. Reading the Bible, again, you've heard me say it often, you ought to be more along in your Christian walk next week than you are this week, next month than you are this month, next year than you are this year. And the only way that that happens is by reading the Word of God, by reading it on a day-by-day basis. Application brings transformation. If you apply the Word of God, if you apply the principles of Word of God, of the Word of God, there will be a transformation. There will be a change in your life. Again, you think of that person. They wake up in the morning. They go into the bathroom. They look in the mirror. They're getting ready to start their day. And they look in the mirror. And, you know, you wake up and, you know, if you have a certain length of hair, you wake up and you have bed hair. And you go and you look in the mirror and you're thinking, oh, man, I've got that bed hair going on. And you see the bed head and you see the smudges on your face from where you slept. You see the wrinkled clothes that you wore to bed and the pajamas that you wore to bed. And, you know, the eye crusties and the eye sleep that gets in your eye as you sleep. But instead of doing anything, you know, instead of washing up, instead of taking a shower, instead of, you know, putting some deodorant on, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, instead of doing any of that, you look at it and say, yep, I'm ready for the day. Now you go down to Walmart, some people look like they really did that. You know, they go in and it looks like they didn't bother getting ready, just rolled out of bed. And you do nothing. Well, you think that's ridiculous. Of course I wouldn't leave the house, you know, with bed head or, you know, not brushing my teeth or, provided, you know, we could help it. And you think, well, that's ridiculous. Well, how often and how many of us treat the Bible the same way? We read the Bible. We see the truth of the Bible. But then we do nothing. We just read it and we think, yep, that's a good truth. That's good for somebody else, but that's not talking to me. That's not talking about me. Everything that's in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is it may not be written to us, but it is for us. And so I want to give us quickly in closing this morning several things we can do, or at least two things we can do, to apply these truths of not just delighting in the Bible, not just hearing the Bible, but also doing the Bible and doing what the Bible tells us to do. Number one, read the Bible with delight. Read the Bible with delight, not just duty. Don't just read your Bible to check off a box on your yearly Bible reading schedule. Take the time. Seek the voice of God. Spend time with God in that prayer time. And ask the Holy Spirit to speak personally to your heart. Ask the Lord as you're reading, Lord, what is it that you're trying to say to me through this passage that I'm reading today? Look, if you would, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And notice there, if you would, verse number 18. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. The Bible says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, if you'll ask God to do it, if as you're reading your Bible, if you'll ask him, Lord, as I'm reading this passage, open my eyes to what you'll have for me today, then he will not only open your eyes, but he will help you to see the wondrous things that are in the Bible for you. You know, sometimes you might read a passage of scripture and you might have read it 100 times before. But then on that 101 time that you read that scripture, the Lord might open something new to you and show you something that you've never seen before. And that doesn't mean it wasn't there. It's always been there. But the Lord was just now opening your eyes to the wondrous truths of God's Word. The wondrous things in the Bible. And then secondly and finally, read with expectation. and read with obedience. As you're reading your Bibles every day, ask God, what is it here that you're saying to me? What must I do about it? And then each day, start applying one truth each day from your Bible reading. Just one a day. You don't have to, apply everything that you see in the Scripture right away. None of us can do that because none of us are perfect. But we can each day take one truth from the Bible and apply it to our life. And so here are some other practical habits we can do. Number one, keep a journal beside your Bible. Now, for me personally, I have a wide margin Bible. And so as I'm reading and I see something that speaks to me, and not everybody likes to do this. Not everybody likes to write in their Bible. I do write in my Bible. I make notes in my Bible. I highlight in my Bible. And I have margins that I can make notes in, and so that serves as my journal. And every Bible, for the most part, that I have at home is filled with notes from over the years. But keep a journal beside your Bible. You know, if you don't like to write in your Bible, or you don't have a Bible that has margins where you can make notes, have a journal that you can jot down thoughts and notes and prayer requests and answered prayers. You know, when God answers a prayer for you, write it down. And that way, when you have your devotions, you can look back on it and see the goodness of God throughout your life and throughout the years. Then write a verse that stood out to you. I think every time we read the Bible, there's a verse or two that sticks out to us. And last week, I was reading one of the daily devotions in our devotional book, and I think it was Revelation chapter 12. And in fact, that's what this morning's sermon is based on, because those verses just spoke to me so much that I thought, hey, this is a good jumping off point. It encouraged me, so it might encourage you. And so write down a verse that stood out, and then take a note about what God said to you through it, and then record one action that you can take to apply that truth. For example, if you read a passage that talks about going, there's a passage in Mark, I think it is, or it's one of the Gospels, about going the second mile, going the extra mile. And you read that and you think, oh, you know what? There's somebody in the church I can encourage. There's somebody in my family that I encourage. There's a friend that I can encourage. Maybe you can bring them a meal. Maybe you can send them a card. Maybe you can give them a call or send them a text message, or something that you wouldn't ordinarily do, not that you do often. And the Lord just uses His word to speak to you to do that and to be an encouragement and to be a blessing. But then find out what He wants you to do, and then take steps to apply that truth. You know, it's an amazing thing this morning. The Bible is not a dead book. The Bible is not just a history book that was written long ago. The Bible is a living voice. It is the very living Word of God. And so we need to, as Christians this morning, we need to delight in God's Word like a thirsty tree by the water. You know, every time we go and, we let the dogs out, and without fail, they always stop by their water bowl. And I mean, they drink and they drink and they drink and they drink. You would think we never give those dogs any water, but they just drink and they drink and they drink and they drink and they drink. As Christians with the Bible, that's the way we need to be. We need to be like dogs that never get enough water. We need to be like Christians that never get enough of the Bible, that we never get enough of the Word of God. And then we need to not only delight in God's Word, but we need to do what the Word says, like a wise man adjusting his life after seeing the truth. Final portion of Scripture, turn over if you would, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin there at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, and it was for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." The wise man this morning, the wise Christian, hears the Bible, hears the Word of God, but they don't only hear it, but they heed it, and they do it. They become not only hearers of the Word, but doers as well. They build their house on the rock. You know, it's like that old Sunday school chorus, "The wise man built his house upon a rock." That's what we need to do. We need to build our house upon the rock. And so this morning, this week, these coming months, as we get into the summer, especially the summer, because listen, when we get into the summer, it's very easy to fall into a slump, you know, start missing church here and there. Listen, I'm all for vacations, I'm all for taking a break, and I'm all for that, but don't let the slump get you, because before you know it, You've taken 1 week off from church to go on vacation. And then before you know it, you miss a second week. And then a third week. And all of a sudden, it snowballs. Same thing with our Bible reading. You know, we go on vacation. We start out strong reading our Bibles. And then, you know, all of a sudden, okay, we miss a day. Okay, I can get caught up tomorrow. You know, that was me in May. The month of May, I struggled horribly staying in our little devotional book in the month of May. And I said, okay, tomorrow I'll get caught up. I'll read two today. I'll read three tomorrow. And you know what? Eventually I just said, okay, you know what? I missed a couple. All right, get back on the horse. Get back on track. And, you know, but especially during the summer, life can become busy. And Satan would love nothing more than to keep you from the Bible. Satan would love nothing more than to keep you from church. Don't just be forgetful hearers, but be faithful doers. Root yourself deep and reach wide in obedience to the Word of God. Every day, you can pray this daily. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Speak to me through your Word. Give me the courage and humility to obey. You can start today. When you go home today, read a passage of Scripture. Write down one thing that God is saying. And then take one step of obedience. Take one step that you can apply what you read. Listen, you won't grow as a Christian just because you own a Bible. Listen, if that was the case, I'd be a fully mature Christian. For as many Bibles as I have in my office and at home, I should be super Christian as many Bibles as I have. But listen, just owning the Bible does not make us grow. Just owning the Bible does not help us to grow. You grow because you delight in it. You wake up in the morning, you can't wait to read it. You can't wait to spend time with God. You can't wait to hear what God has to say to you. But then not only do you hear it, not only do you delight in it, but then you can't wait to do it. You can't wait to put into practice what you have learned and what you have heard. And so as Christians this year, let us go from delight to doing in His Word. And if we do, we'll see growth and blessings and success beyond measure in our life. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?